Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and today it's a kind of a legal day on the program. We're going to, a little later on, we're going to take a look at the legal work done by Legal Action of Wisconsin. We're going to talk about what it's like to be in jury duty. And to begin with, we're going to talk about public defenders, because public defenders play a very essential role in our criminal court system. And if you've been arrested and you can't afford to hire a legal counsel, a public defender has to be assigned to you. And we're talking about the whole process today with Jennifer Bias. Jennifer is the state public defender leading the Office of Wisconsin State Public Defender. So as we talk with Jennifer, I hope you'll join in. What have been your experiences? Have you had some working with a public defender, or maybe you know somebody who has? I have a comment relating to it, or a question about specific reasons why you may need one. Number to call, 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. And Jennifer Bias, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it very much.
Good morning, Mr. Mueller. Thank you so much for having me.
You're the state public defender, and that means kind of you're the boss over let's put it this way, you lead the office of the Wisconsin State Public Defenders. First, what is the overall mission? What's the overall goal? I think I cited some of it in my little introduction, but talk about that role.
Yeah, no, you did a great job. I am honored to be the state public defender and to lead our office in Wisconsin. The assistant state public defenders that work in our offices all across the state, and there are 40 of them, do a wonderful job representing clients. We represent clients who qualify for our services financially. There is the need to provide that information to determine if we can actually assign a lawyer to represent you throughout your entire case. We are also partnered with private bar lawyers who agree to be trained and to, you know, kind of have the same dedication and commitment that our staff lawyers have. They really do partner with us to also be assigned cases and represent clients, and they do that very, very well. Between the two groups of lawyers, we again cover all 72 counties across the state with our 40 offices. We have a trial division, which is where many of our clients start their litigation, and sometimes cases are appealed and they go to our appellate division. We have offices in Milwaukee and Madison that provide appellate representation. And this is an important constitutional requirement. I want to make sure to get that in, because we're celebrating the birthday, if you will, of Gideon v. Wainwright, 63 years old this week. It's the United States Supreme Court decision that made the representation by public defenders for anyone who cannot afford to hire counsel on their own a requirement, an absolute mandate. And Wisconsin's response has been to create legislatively the Office of the State Public Defender.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And, you know, this whole Miranda warning, you have the right to an attorney. If you can't afford one, one will be provided. That's in our Bill of Rights.
So the Miranda warning is a prophylactic that helps with, it's a different case, by the way, yeah. Miranda v. Arizona, yeah. But also comes from the United States Supreme Court and is an assistance to individuals who have been arrested or encountering in certain instances law enforcement. It protects anything that they might say, and in some situations do, when they encounter law enforcement. And yes, it also speaks of the right to have a lawyer with you if you are facing being questioned by law enforcement, or law enforcement should stop the questioning.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there are, it looked to me like you have about three different areas. And I think it'd be interesting to, you know, from those who are listening, to know a little more detail about them. One of them is criminal and delinquency cases. And maybe you could give us some examples of what those might entail.
Well, we handle any kind of case situation or client situation where an individual is facing the loss of liberty. The most serious case type is a felony case. That's a case where the mandatory sentence could be spending some time in prison. We also provide representation on misdemeanor cases where, among other things, the mandatory sentence could be a jail sentence. We also, as you mentioned, provide representation to young people who are accused of committing either a felony or a misdemeanor under the age of 17. But in termination of parental rights cases, for example, where we provide representation, no one is going to be locked up, but the courts have determined that that's a very, very serious type of legal action against parents. And because it's so serious, it's referred to as the death penalty in parental rights representation. And so we provide representation in this state. We also provide representation on mental health cases, sometimes in probate court, Chapter 51 and Chapter 55 matters, and of course, revocation of status offenses, probation, parole, extended supervision, where people may be released in the community, but because of some concern or issue by the Department of Corrections, that status is in jeopardy and being challenged, and they're being returned to custody of some type, prison or jail, and we provide representation there. So we provide representation in a lot of varied matters that are laid out in the statutes.
Yeah, I was one that came to mind to me was people facing court orders that would allow medical professionals, for example, to forcibly administer mental health medications. I mean, that's a pretty tricky thing. It's something that you folks I know work with.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Andy in Appleton has something for us. Let's go there. Andy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening for a long time, and it's an honor to be able to speak with you today. So my experience with the Public Defender's Office in Allegheny County here in Appleton, Wisconsin, has really been an amazing experience. So I was in active addiction for many years, and through that, I had multiple felony charges, and had it not been for the public defender that represented me, I would probably be rotting away in a prison cell somewhere. Instead, today I celebrate almost 2 years of recovery, and I'm in a diversion program that we call treatment court here in Allegheny County. And on the streets, people hear a lot of things about public defenders, but I just want to say my experience has been an amazing experience, and I'm super grateful for resources that the state has to offer.
Andy, thank you so much. Well, Jennifer, I'm sure you've got a comment.
No, that is an excellent testimonial. I appreciate the fact that you called in, and I am very, very grateful to the skilled individuals in Allegheny County that provided representation to you. I also heard you mention treatment court, and that is another aspect of the services that we provide through the State Public Defender Office. In all of the counties that provide a treatment court as an alternative, our public defenders are sitting right there with the rest of the team, which consists of judges, prosecutors, Department of Corrections, law enforcement, as well as community partners that provide alternatives and provide help with the sanctions that need to be administered in those courts to help the individuals participating be successful. Yeah. I'm happy that that program was available for you in Outagamie County, and I wish you continued success going forward.
Yeah, is that something that's a treatment court? It has a different sound to it to me, and you were kind of describing how it works. I mean, is that service available throughout Wisconsin?
It's available in many counties throughout Wisconsin. Almost every county provides a treatment court of some type. The treatment courts are designed to work in a slightly different way from our adversarial courts. They are not adversarial, and it's not a court where one goes to protest their innocence, but rather to seek help and get treatment through court-ordered supervision of and oversight of that process. The individuals work very, very hard to deal with addiction, and it is extremely important that they learn and master the tools to deal with their addiction, because it's brought them into the criminal courts, right? The most important aspect, though, I think, is that many of our counties provide the service and that we have many success stories. I'll just put in a plug here for the Wisconsin Association of Treatment Court Professionals. They will hold their annual conference at the end of April. And folks from all over the state who are providing those treatment court services will come together to be updated on approaches that are being used and that are successful across the United States.
That's really a wonderful service, and one that I think a lot of people, you hope that a lot of people get involved in. Are there a lot of people that go through that treatment service? I mean, citizens who are in those kinds of circumstances?
I think there are a good number is how I would respond to that. But we need more resources in order to permit more individuals to go through that kind of program. You know, our prisons are very crowded. Our jails are very crowded. And if we could have more resources for services like treatment court and to permit judges to spend the time, prosecutors and public defenders, as well as Department of Corrections staff, to really spend the time working on treatment court versus the adversarial process, I think we would see not only a reduction, but our money, our tax money, yeah, well spent.
Yeah. Dwayne in Westfield has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Dwayne.
Hey, how you doing? Love the show. Longtime caller. I'm going to miss you when you leave.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Oh, I'm going to definitely miss you when we're going to leave. But anyway, I have done time in prison. And prior to that, when I got out, my probation decided that sometimes they don't really like to try to help. So I had a probation or I had a public defender, and he did more for me than actually what my paid attorney did for getting me the amount of time that I did. I probably would have gotten a lot. I mean, because we originally had a deal and that fell apart. But the one that was the public defender, he had people, actually trying to find out the information, what was real and what was not. And I trust them more than I do a paid attorney. And I think the public defender's office needs to have a little bit more, I could say, money to go so they can bring more people that are qualified to actually do the right thing, so our prisons will not be so fooled up with stuff that they don't need.
Oh, Dwayne, thanks a lot for calling. Comments, Jennifer?
You know, first of all, Dwayne, thank you for calling in and sharing your experience. I totally agree with you regarding the amount of resources that the public defender's office needs. You mentioned support staff and basically individuals who worked with the public defender attorney to ferret out resources that could help your case. We have those kinds of resources, and they assist. They're great staff, but we need more of them. We have, you know, investigators, we have clerical staff, we have social workers and paralegals. But up in the area where you reside, Duane, you know, we have one paralegal that serves 30 lawyers in that part of the state. We recently, as recently as Tuesday, really lost the ability to move forward in asking through legislation for additional support staff resources and additional attorney positions in our agency. We did not receive the positions that we had asked for in the last budget that was announced in June of 2025. And Representative Stephan did a great job of working with all of the criminal legal system individuals to introduce what was called the Justice for All Act, a bill in the legislature that would have given us our biggest staff increase in positions in almost 20 plus years. Again, that effort was not successful because the vote did not happen in the Senate. It didn't get scheduled for a vote in its final floor period. But we are hopeful that in the next budget, we can make a request that will be supported, that will be granted. The other thing that our support staff do is they just make sure that lawyers are in the courtrooms because they take care of all of the work for clients that needs to be done outside of the courtroom. You know, they're the individuals who make sure that eligibility is determined. They make sure that witnesses are looked up. They make the calls to determine if we can get someone released on bond and what those conditions might be. Our support staff find housing and treatment facilities, and they attend court hearings at times in other courtrooms when other types of matters are pending, oftentimes in civil court, for example, to make sure that everything is working out to the best for our clients. So we really, really need support staff. And, you know, I've felt like I've been begging for them since I took over this role, but they are such a necessary component of providing good quality, but also cost-effective representation in every single type of case.
Jennifer Bias, our guest, the state public defender leading the Office of Wisconsin State Public Defenders. Questions or comments for her, or maybe an experience to share. We've had some great calls so far, and looking forward to hearing from you. The number to call is 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking about our public defender program in Wisconsin with Jennifer Bias, who's the boss, the state public defender. She leads the Office of Wisconsin State Public Defenders, of course, an attorney herself, with a lot of experience, and it's great to have her along. Questions, comments, or maybe an experience, I hope you'll join in. Again, the number 800-642-1234, or email to talk@WPR.org. Let's take a call from Karen in Oshkosh. Karen, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I was a prosecutor for 5 years in La Crosse County and for 30 years in Hennepin County, which is Minneapolis. And I have experience in violent crime and things like child support enforcement and also with drug court. And so I'm calling to endorse the significance of a robust public defender staff, because the police get one version of the offense that occurs, whoever reports first. When somebody has public defense or other defense representation, that assists in seeking out additional investigation that may prove to be exculpatory, mm-hmm. as in helping the person's case. The other thing is the public defenders and other defense attorneys get to know the client and can provide lots of valuable information to help the person who faces criminal penalties that can include probation with conditions like get drug treatment. So that's my experience. Very important to have a robust public defense staff.
Karen, thank you very much for calling. Jennifer, comment.
I absolutely agree with Karen and certainly appreciate her support both in the state of Wisconsin and in Minnesota and speaking to the need for resources on the side of the public defender. We've been challenged, I think, in the upper Midwest and in a lot of places across the United States in finding lawyers who are committed to working in this area. There have been some challenges as well for prosecutor staff. We have suffered both in finding lawyers to be on staff in our law firm, as well as private bar lawyers. And this issue intensified greatly following the pandemic. Many folks retired, many folks decided, hey, I just don't want to do this type of work. Unfortunately, I believe many students decided this was not the course that they wanted to pursue following law school. And so we've been hurting in that regard. But we do need the state legislature, which in Wisconsin provides resources to state agencies. And even though we're a law firm, we're also a state agency. We need them to take a look at this issue very carefully, very insightfully, and recognize what the needs are. It's important for a number of reasons to hear both sides of the story, right? To get that information out in court, to litigate, to bring forward legal issues and file motions and go to trial, present who the individual is at sentencing if the case gets that far, because not everyone is the person they're made out to be in those allegations. And it's the defense attorney's job to present the story of their client. And so we need to be able to do that so that the court, who ultimately will make the decision, hears both sides of the story and is making a decision regarding sentence and structuring that sentence appropriately. We have law in Wisconsin that instructs the judge to do exactly that. And our judges, I believe, are very good at doing that, but they have to have the information that comes from the defense bar, that comes from the defense attorney in the room on behalf of the client. So I really appreciate Karen's comments.
Thank you, Karen. And thanks for that great response as well. I appreciate that, Jennifer. Karen, thanks again. Dave and Toma, what's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to ask about why prosecutors can drag out a case so long before they ever get to try it, possibly destroying innocent people's lives in the process because they lose their ability to do anything, to hold a job or anything while they're waiting for the prosecution to do their job.
Hmm. Interesting, Dave. Thank you for calling. Jennifer, comment on the length of time it takes sometimes.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, for your observation. Our court systems, especially right now, are pretty backlogged, pretty backed up. Sometimes, in addition to prosecutors who may need to have adjournments to find witnesses, make sure that they're served and on their way to court when needed. Sometimes there's perhaps not a lawyer that's been appointed and those kinds of things can happen. It is certainly also challenging when individuals are kept in custody because of high cash bond that they have to post or other conditions that they cannot meet while their charges are pending. Many people who are kept in custody, as you said, aren't able to get on with their lives, but in very, very significant ways, lose you know, their employment, they lose their home, they lose their family, some even lose the custody of their children. And those are the other issues that as public defenders, when we're talking about bond and release on conditions, we have in the back of our minds for each and every one of our clients. We're advocating that there be the presumption of innocence that rules in every single situation, first and foremost. Presume this person is simply an accused individual and the truth of the matter will come out later through the court proceedings. But for right now, our Constitution requires us really to release individuals back into the community and do so safely, of course, but to release them so that they can maintain their citizenship, maintain their responsibilities, maintain their obligations to and control their livelihood, because it's much tougher. You know, even a 3-week stay in jail, a 3-month stay in jail, we're talking about it being just greatly, greatly exacerbated. You know, we do have trial, speedy trials in statute in the state of Wisconsin for both misdemeanor and felony cases that set out a way for those matters that are pending to get to trial. First of all, you need a lawyer assigned to your case to review and be prepared with witnesses to present your defense, whatever that might be in preparation for trial. But we absolutely need to look at our speedy trial, you know, laws and certainly release individuals from custody, if not just outright dismiss cases when the state is not ready and is not going to proceed in a number of different types of cases. We do have a backlog, and some of that is because cases are asked to be adjourned and they're rescheduled over and over and over again. It would be great if the state would also take into consideration exactly what Dave has mentioned in determining the needed resources for the public defender's office.
Yeah, I think last August, I think the Wisconsin court system reported a backlog of something like 1,200 or 12,000 thereabouts felony cases that that were in backlog. And you think about the lives of everybody. I mean, if you lose, 3 weeks even, you know, you can lose your job. You're no income. You can't make your rent payment. There's all kinds of things that occur, which may or may not be your fault at all.
Absolutely. You know, in terms of the backlog that you mentioned, Larry, it is difficult to tally exactly the cost. But I will add this. There is significant cost to having individuals sitting in jail for these endless amounts of time who could be released. County taxpayers pay that cost. You know, the other thing is, again, individuals have not been determined to be guilty of anything at that point. And so it's a fairness issue. And, you know, the fact that our jails are crowded, our jails are overcrowded. There are other issues that surface when there's jail crowding because of these situations where bail has not been provided at a level where an individual could be released. But the other costs that I mentioned also weigh on county taxpayers because citizens are taking care of children that are parents are in jail. What about those housing costs? And of course, we know that in this state, employers are looking every day for people to take positions. If we were, you know, able to let some of these folks out of custody, I'm sure that they would be able to get gainful employment once again.
John in Spooner has something. John, go ahead. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Larry and Jennifer. Thanks for taking my call. I was arrested on charges back in 2014, but so I ended up I have difficulty expressing myself, so bear with me. But I ended up having four different public defenders. I spent 250 some days in jail. I never got one single word with a public defender. So whenever there was a court appearance, which was like, I don't know, once every couple, 2 or 3 months, the public defender never even acknowledged that I was brought into the courtroom. Instead spent his time talking with the prosecutor and the district attorney about his retirement plans and the attorney expressing how he was underpaid and it was unfair. He shouldn't even have to represent people for the low wages he was receiving in payment. And I ended up pleading guilty to felony charges, what are going to affect me the rest of my life. I can't get housing or anything. But the Court of Appeals took my case, and I was in conversation with a judge trying to explain the situation that and so I went to the law library every day I could get into the county jail, which is limited access. They don't really want. And I was having to manually copy down all the statutes that were applying in my case as far as telling me my case doesn't exist, disappearing paperwork. And, you know, if I'd have had a public defender that I could have actually sat down and talked with for at least 5 minutes, it would have been a whole different outcome.
So, different kind of story here, Jennifer. Comment.
Yeah, thanks for your call, John. And I want to express apologies for your experience with our staff and with our law firm. You know, we strive very, very conscientiously to prepare clients for the representation to appear in front of the judge, to understand the charges that are against them and what they're facing. We strive to provide client-centered representation where the client directs the goals of the representation, whether there's going to be a resolution or a trial or whatever. And our lawyers, you know, are certainly well-trained lawyers and well-trained litigators, and they're looking through the law books and reflecting on the training and experience they have with regard to how to approach any kind of charge, including the felony charge that you talked about in your situation. I don't know details of your case, certainly, and I don't know why there were four different attorneys or ultimately why you ended up pleading guilty or no contest to a felony, but certainly your case is in the appeals court and hopefully there will be a positive resolution for you there. You know, it is very, very challenging up in northwestern Wisconsin to keep our offices staffed. And I do have to say that Spooner in particular is an office where we've suffered some tragedy. We had a staff attorney who frankly passed away shortly after a court appearance one day, a very experienced lawyer who had worked with clients for decades. It has been difficult to keep staff in the Bayfield and Ashland area, and those lawyers serve a number of different counties in the area. It is a reason why, again, we are and have been asking for additional resources so that we have support professionals that can keep up with clients, keep up with their issues, and assist the lawyer who is appearing in court to provide the representation that's needed in a particular case, in a particular situation.
John, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. I'm wondering, in order to qualify, and I don't think we've covered this, I wanted to get it in. I mean, if somebody's listening and wants to know, well, am I going to need a public defender how do I get one and that sort of thing?
Well, the first step is to determine if you're facing a loss of liberty in our courts in those case types that I mentioned at the beginning, felonies, misdemeanors, or if you're a young person that's facing a felony or a misdemeanor in youth court. Mental health matters, a Chapter 51 proceeding or a Chapter 55, termination of parental rights, a revocation of probation or parole or extended supervision, any of those case types qualify you to seek a public defender. But the second biggest piece is financial qualification. You do have to qualify for a public defender. And what's unfortunate is that we are still determining financial eligibility according to 2009 financial standards. It's 2026, and our income standards have not been adjusted since 2009. So I have to admit, we are leaving a lot of people out. And when we leave people out from being represented by a state public defender attorney, the county picks up that appointment and picks up that cost. So we will be seeking resources to have basically the eligibility standard changed. Hopefully it will be fixed so that going forward, we will not have to have such a lengthy gap before the legislature takes a look at it. It is important that every person, again, as we celebrate the birthday of Gideon V. Wainwright this week, that everyone who needs representation, poor people who need representation, people who don't have the resources to be able to hire their own lawyer of their choosing, is able to come to the state public defender for representation.
Well, Jennifer, you're an eloquent defender of a state, the Office of Wisconsin State Public Defenders. I hope we can talk about this again. We've had some interesting calls, and it'd be great to have you back some point and talk again. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Jennifer Bias is the state public defender leading the Office of Wisconsin State Public Defenders. Interesting show. We're going to be staying in the legal side of things as we talk about the legal work of the Legal Action of Wisconsin. We'll talk about civil suits and so forth with them. That coming up next. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.